all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Now, that word prayer in Ephesians chapter 16, as we said last week, is a Greek word prosyuke. And it's a compound word that literally means to have communion with, face to face. And so prayer has to be regarded in its proper place in order for it to be effective. Prayer is not hit and miss. Prayer is not a shot in the dark. Prayer is not talking to some unknown person, you know, over a can with string on it. Prayer is having face-to-face communion with God. And He invites us to do so. And so we're going to continue to lay a good foundation this morning. So praying always with all manner of prayer. It's face-to-face communion with God. Now, when you have communion with a person, for it to be good communion, it involves more than just talking. Have you ever run into somebody who loves to talk? In fact, they talk so much you wish they'd stop. Or let me put it this way. You wish they'd shut up. You know anybody like that? You know anybody who just dominates a conversation, you can't get a word in edgewise? Well, that's not the concept of prayer. Prayer is not only speaking, but also listening. Because God speaks to us all the time. He speaks to us by His Spirit. He speaks to us through the Word. And He'll speak to us in prayer. But we have to understand it's face-to-face communion with God. Then we looked at John chapter 15. Don't turn there. Verses 7 and 8. Well, you can. You're in 16. Flip back to 15. John 15, 7 and 8. Jesus said this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Now, there's a lot in these verses. Jesus identified himself as the source of our life. "I am the vine, you are the branches." And then he said, "If a man abide in me and my words abide in him, he'll ask what he will," talking about prayer, "and it'll be done unto him. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." In other words, God gets glory when your prayer life is fruitful. Or God is glorified when your prayers are answered. But successful prayer is based upon the Word. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." So successful prayer is based upon the Word of God. When you pray outside of the parameters of what the Word teaches, then your prayer is outside of God's will, God's plan, and He's not obligated to do anything with that. Are you with me? So we're going to see what the Word says about the subject of prayer. Okay, now, John chapter 16. Now, in our modern culture, prayer is regarded many different ways. We know that many years ago they took prayer out of the public school and things have deteriorated ever since. Amen. But there are people, and this is our culture, where prayer is regarded differently because we don't want to offend anybody. And so, you know, you got to be careful if you pray at a football game. You got to be careful if you pray in public. You got to be careful that you don't offend somebody's sensibilities. And so many times, you know, I've been invited to do invocations for different events. And, you know, I think maybe only one time was I talked to about, well, you don't want to say, you know, the name Jesus because we don't want to offend anybody. I'm sorry. That's who I owe my life to. That's who taught us the principles of prayer. And so if somebody's, you know, of a different persuasion, background, faith, and they get offended because I say Jesus, well, I guess you're going to have to be offended. Are you with me? He loved us so much, He died for us. So I'm going to honor Him at any given opportunity. But in our secular culture, we don't want to offend anybody. So prayer has been watered down to moments of silence. A moment to reflect. Well, that's not prayer. Several years ago, I was talking to somebody and they were telling me about this new beautiful meditation garden where you walk these stone paths in a certain order. You know, it's like a maze, only with laid out stone. And I said, what's the purpose of this thing? He said, well, you have to walk it silently so that you can meditate and reflect and contemplate. It's a prayer garden. That's what they call it. I said, but you don't do any talking. Oh, no, 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 no. You meditate, reflect, and contemplate. Well, I'm sorry, that's not prayer. I don't know why you call it a prayer garden. You can call it a meditation garden, a reflection garden, a contemplation garden, but it ain't no prayer garden. Prayer is having face-to-face communion with God. Now, let's see what Jesus said about prayer, because many people pray a lot of different ways, and they pray a lot of different things. And so we're going to see from the lips of the Savior the proper way for believers to pray. Notice what he said in John chapter 16. Now, these are basic things you need to know if your prayer life is going to be effective. Remember, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Notice John chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, or up till now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, Jesus is talking about petitioning prayer, asking prayer. Petitioning prayer is addressed to God, the Father, in the name of Jesus. So if you're going to pray the way Jesus said we should pray, then we address our prayers to God the Father in His name, in the name of Jesus. And he went on to say that I'm not telling you that I'm going to ask God for you or on your behalf. He said, you ask God directly because He loves you as much as He loves me because you believe that I came from Him. And so because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have access to God the Father through prosyuke, face-to-face communion. We can go to God directly in Jesus' name and He will hear us and answer our prayer. Now, many times people get confused because if they don't have a good solid foundation, they're liable to pray anything. Praying to Jesus. Well, that's nice. That's noble. But it's not the way you're supposed to pray. Are you with me? Praying to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, you're doing some things you don't need to do. Praying to your ancestors. That don't work. Praying to St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Augustus, you name it. That is unscriptural, according to what Jesus taught. Now, I know religious tradition may teach otherwise, but remember, Jesus said, if my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So petitioning prayer is addressed to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, you're in John 16. Turn backwards to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's see what else Jesus said about prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Now, these are the basics, okay? These are the ABCs. These are the fundamentals of prayer. Remember, face-to-face communion with God. Matthew chapter 6. Notice what Jesus said beginning with verse 5. He said, and when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, Jesus is now talking about the attitude that we should have in prayer. In other words, you don't pray big, flowery, eloquent prayers that sound good to impress people. Because if your motive is to impress people, that's all you're going to get. You're going to make an impression, but you won't impress God. Have you ever known anybody to do that? I've known of folks, boy, they just love to be the first one to go, oh, most heavenly, gracious, almighty heavenly Father. The one who made the sky blue and the green grass green. And they get all, you know, all this flowery stuff. You don't need all of that. You don't have to speak Elizabethan English. Thou shalt not. You know, God speaks to me many times just like I talk. I remember one time He called me boy. Are you with me? And He knew my heart. But God speaks to you in a language that you understand. Just speak to Him like you would speak to your best friend. Don't get all flowery in your prose. Don't try to impress people. You see what I mean? Because if you do it to be seen, that's all you're going to get. Notice what Jesus said. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you shut your door, pray unto the Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. Now, there's a lot in there. Don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. You know what a heathen is? You ever been called a heathen? Y'all remember Sanford and Son? Who was that one character, the one woman? Esther. She used to call Fred, you heathen, you. You know what a heathen is? That's somebody who just doesn't know God. And so many times in the church world, we pick up traditions that really came from the world, that came from paganism, and we try to incorporate them into our Christian faith, and it doesn't work. You know, there are certain people who pray certain prayers so many times. Okay? Or they say the same thing again and again and again, like God's hard of hearing. He's not. He knows what you ask, what you have need of before you ask, but you still have to ask. And so here's what we don't want to do in prayer. Number one, we don't want to pray to be seen. We don't want to pray to impress people. It can be a private matter that we pray in secret. God will reward us openly, number one. Number two, don't be like the heathen, saying the same thing again and again and again and again. I'm not talking about holding fast to your confession of faith, but you don't have to pray the same thing in repetition to get God's ear. Are you with me? All right? But it has to do with the heart, the attitude that we have. And so we don't want to be actors, wear a mask, act one way publicly, and then privately we're another way. So God knows what we need, and so we still have to ask. All right, everybody say this, you have to ask. Even though He knows, you have to ask. You know, there are times in life we do the same thing. Many times I realize people may need something, or I think they need something, but I don't take it upon myself to do anything unless they say something. I remember there was a situation not long ago. I don't remember what the details were. But, you know, somebody said, well, did you do this for somebody? I said, they didn't ask. You know, I didn't know they needed it. They didn't say anything. I heard a story the other day about this guy who loved his mother so much. I just heard this. This is cute. That he wanted to buy her a great gift for her birthday. So he found these two beautiful talking birds. And they were very expensive, $5,000 a piece. So he bought her two of them. And he sent these, now I know where I heard this story. I heard this story from Dr. Carson. He's a neurosurgeon. And he shared this story at President Obama's prayer breakfast not long ago. He said, bought these two birds and sent them to his mother. So he waited a few days. He knew she got them. And he called his mama and said, Mama, how you doing? She said, great. He said, how'd you like those birds I sent you? She said, they were good. He said, well, whoa, Mama, wait a minute. Those were talking birds. She said, well, I didn't know. She said, they were $5,000 a piece. He said, why did you eat the birds? She said, well, they should have said something. I didn't say anything, she ate them. Well, you know, to a certain degree, when it comes to our relationship with God, He knows what we need. But listen, we've got to ask. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. But we still got to ask. And so just don't assume that because you have a need, that God's automatically going to do something for you. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4. Go to the right. James is one of those little books. Oh, right around Hebrews. James chapter 4, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Right after Hebrews is James. Now, there are some very good translations of the New Testament. I like the Williams translation of these verses, but the Amplified really, really bears out something that we need to know. James chapter 3. Everybody got it? Okay, follow along with me. Notice what he said. Well, I'm sorry. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to read three verses. James chapter 4. Notice what it says. I'm reading out of the Amplified. What leads to strife, discord, and feuds, and how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your heart is concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war, and you don't have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God for them, and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it on your sensual pleasures. Now, James is writing to Hebrew believers and telling them why their prayers have gone unanswered. He said, because you ask out of the wrong motive. There's jealousy, there's covetousness. You want what the other guy's got. You know, there's nothing wrong with desiring things. Did you know that? But when you desire something that belongs to somebody else, that's when you're wrong. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting an Audi. Alonzo drives an Audi. Audi is a very fine automobile. Nothing wrong with wanting an Audi. Go to the dealership. They'll sell you one. Go to cars.com. You can find one. But when I want his Audi, that's when I have a problem. That belongs to him. So I can't go praying to God, oh God, tell Alonzo to give me his Audi. Get your own Audi. They make them every day. Are you with me? But that's the problem. When you begin to covet things that don't belong to you, or you're asking God for things so that you can use it on your own selfish desires, that can be a source of trouble. Now, remember I told you about the fellow who wanted me to pray with him years ago? And he wanted me to pray an unspoken request. I said, I'm sorry, I don't do those. Unless I know what I'm praying for, I ain't praying. He said, I'm not praying that God will bless me while I do it, but I just want you to pray that God will keep me safe. I said, what are you talking about? He was going to rob somebody, armed robbery, with a pistol, and wanted God to keep him safe. Now, that don't work. Y'all with me? That's not proper prayer. God's not going to answer that. And I told him as much. But some people just have a different mindset. That's why I'm telling you and teaching you the basics. Okay? All right, now let's go back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to touch on a lot of scripture today, but we're laying a good foundation, the basics of prayer. Petitioning prayer. Asking prayer. Prayer is face-to-face communion with God, but petitioning prayer is addressed to the Father in the name of Jesus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Excuse me. Matthew 7. And we'll begin with verse 7. Again, Jesus is teaching on the subject of prayer. Remember, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now here's a statement you need to highlight in your Bible. For everyone that asks, receives. Everyone that asks receives. Let me ask you a question. Does everyone leave anybody out? I'll ask it again. Does that statement leave anybody out? No. Everyone who asks receives. And he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son shall ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God is ever waiting and ever ready to answer your prayers. And Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. Awesome statement, isn't it? So God definitely wants your prayer life to produce fruit. Now, turn with me to Luke. You're in Matthew. Go to the right to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're talking about petitioning prayer, asking God. Prayer is addressed to the Father in the name of Jesus. Prayer is based upon what the Word says. To pray beyond the Word is to pray beyond God's purpose and plan. It doesn't work. Luke chapter 18. Now, this is a very, very great illustration on the subject of prayer. And I love this account. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Luke chapter 18. And we'll start with verse 1. We'll go through verse 8. Notice what it says. Jesus is teaching. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them how they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city which said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. And a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant them justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? How many will he find on the earth who have faith? In other words, faith is an important ingredient in your prayer life. So Jesus is using this illustration to teach us that we should always pray and never give up. Now in the King James it says, and men ought always to pray and not faint. What does it mean to faint? It means to grow weary, to get tired, to just surrender, to give up. Now, what he's saying in a practical sense is, when you pray, have faith that God heard you. Have faith that he answered your prayer. Have faith that you've received the answer. And even though things may look like they didn't change, don't you give up. You keep believing that you've received the answer. Are you with me? We ought to pray and not quit, not give up, not grow weary. I don't care what it looks like, you never, ever give up. You never quit. Because Jesus said, we just read it, everyone who asks receives. Everyone who asks receives. So if you believe that you've received when you prayed, you will stay in faith and not give up. Where people miss it in prayer is they will petition and they don't see anything that changed. In fact, sometimes it might get worse. And so they give up and say, oh, well, I guess he didn't hear me. Oh, well, I guess it's not for me. Well, you know, if it's the will of God, it'll happen. Is that right? Well, if it's not the will of God, it won't happen. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of stuff that happens in this earth that's not the will of God. Well, Pastor Bill, the Lord permitted it. Yeah, he permitted you to cuss out your sister last Thanksgiving too, but that was not his will. I hope that didn't happen to anybody in here. You do a lot of stuff that's not the will of God. That doesn't mean He endorses it. I don't know why people get silly. Well, it happened. Must be the will of God. No. No, that was man's will, woman's will, or this world system that's dominated by the adversary. Okay? Just because it happened doesn't mean it's the will of God. But when it comes to prayer, number one, find Scripture to base your prayer on. In other words, Jesus said, if my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. So base your prayer on the Word of God. Go to the Father in Jesus' name and petition Him. Ask. Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. So once we pray, we need to not faint, not quit, don't give up. Believe that we have received what we prayed for. Are you with me? You follow me so far? So we need to learn a lesson from this unjust judge. There's another translation that goes into a little more detail on this story. And this unjust judge had told this woman, no, I'm not going to avenge you of your adversary. She kept coming back and asking the same thing. I want you to avenge me of my adversary. He'd say no. She kept coming back. She wouldn't quit. Finally, one translation says this. He relented because he thought she might whoop him. Really, literally. One translation says, though I don't fear God or regard man, I'm going to do something for this woman because she's wearing me out and she might do me bodily harm. She just won't quit. Now, Jesus said immediately after that, don't you think that God will answer the prayers of His chosen people? Will He keep putting them off? No. He answers your prayer speedily. 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 That means when you ask, He answers. Now we've got to not quit. Not faint. Don't give up. Can you see that? Petitioning prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, let's go a little further. I want to show you something else. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. And I think we'll close with this. Ooh, perfect time. Man, we did good today. Did you guys learn anything? 1 John chapter 5. We're talking about petitioning prayer. Basic stuff. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to show you how to be confident in your prayer life. This is classic. John said this, 1 John chapter 5, notice verse 14. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, if we ask anything according to His will, in order for our prayer life to be effective, we should know the will of God before we pray. Because we know if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. Now, there are some people who are from this camp that says, well, you can never know what the will of God is because He works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. You know, some people think that's in the Bible. It's not. It's not. We have in this book over 6,000 years of recorded history of God's interactions with man. We can see what He did in the past. We can see what His will is now. And we can get a glimpse of what's coming in the future. So how can we say you never know what the will of God is when it's revealed to us right in this book? And for the believer, particularly in the Gospels and the Epistles, the letters written to the church, this is God speaking to you. This is our manual for living. This is our owner's manual, if you will. So God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. And so we should know the will of God before we pray by simply knowing the Word. All right? I mentioned that crazy example of the guy wanting me to pray for him before he committed armed robbery. Well, the Bible says, you know, let him that stole steal no more. So we know that's not the will of God. All right? Now, there are people who go into sick rooms and they'll pray, Lord, if it be your will. Wait a minute. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. What is the will of God concerning healing? The Bible's full of it. It's everywhere. Matthew 8:17 says, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Isaiah chapter 53 says, By His stripes we are healed. Psalm 103 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. 1 Peter 2:24 says, Who bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Well, that's the will of God. And so now when we go and pray for the sick, we can pray with confidence because we know it's His will. Everybody got that? Last thing you want to do is go into a room with somebody who's sick and lay hands on them and say, Lord, if it's your will, please heal brother so-and-so. If you don't know the will of God, get out of the room. They don't need you. Now, that sounds harsh, but I'm just trying to get you to see we need to pray and do it confidently. Pray according to the will of God. Pray according to the Word of God. I had a conversation with a man several months ago. And he had had a disagreement with somebody, and he's praying that God would, you know, judge him. And do that. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not the way we should pray. Jesus was with His disciples one time, and they left the town. And these people in this town, this is how much they enjoyed having Jesus in their midst. You know what they said? The demoniac was delivered. The guy who was crying in the tombs, cutting himself with stones, had 2,000 demons in him, you know, had just gotten delivered. And you know what these people said? Hey, Jesus, would you do us a favor? He said, what's that? They said, would you leave? Would you please go? And you know what he did? He left. And on the way out of town, one of his disciples says, Lord, should we call down fire on them like Elijah did? And Jesus said, wait a minute, you're of the wrong heart. I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save them. And so that prayer was not the will of God. You see that? So, if we ask anything according to His will, listen to me, His will is revealed by His Word. His will is revealed by His Word. So, if we ask anything according to His Word, anything according to His will, the word will here is thelema. It literally means His purpose or decree. What is a decree? Something said. So, if we ask anything according to what He said, if we ask anything according to what He said, then we know He hears us. Notice the rest of that verse. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We have the petitions that we desired. The word have is the Greek word echo, which literally means to hold or possess something. So now I know that if I pray anything according to what God has said in His Word, then He hears me. And if He hears me, then I know that I hold or possess the things that I ask Him for. So successful prayer is based upon the Word of God. We can petition the Father in the name of Jesus. We know that He hears us. And then if He hears us, then we have those things that we've petitioned or asked Him for. So there's a proper way to pray. And there's a proper way to believe. And we have to be just like that widow woman. Be persistent, not quit. Now, many people get confused about Luke 18 because they think you got to keep asking, keep coming, just like the widow woman did with the unjust judge. No, that was the unjust judge. We're dealing with a gracious Heavenly Father. We have face-to-face communion with God. We don't have to ask repeatedly for the same thing. Now, we do have to pray about the same thing again and again. But once I petition Him, and I prayed according to His Word, and I know He heard me, I know I have what I've asked Him for, now when I go back in that place of prayer, I'm just thanking Him. Father, I want to thank You because I know You heard me, and I know You answered my prayer, and I thank You for changing this situation. I thank You for doing what You said You would do. I thank You for answering my prayer. You see that? I don't have to go back and ask the same thing. Because He heard me the first time. I got it the first time. You with me? Now, you can pray that way for you. When it comes to others, there are different rules that apply to that kind of praying. Now remember where we began. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer or all manner of prayer. You can say it like this. Prayer is governed by principle, not feeling. Many times we miss it because we didn't feel anything when we pray. What's your feelings got to do with it? Feelings will get you in trouble. Feelings don't mean anything. All right? Many times we're looking for goosebumps. Goosebumps don't mean anything. Jesus never said any place in the Bible, you know your prayer's answered if you got goosebumps. It's not in there. You know God heard you if you feel good. Feelings have nothing to do with it. Prayer is governed by principle, not by feelings. So I've shared with you some basic principles this morning, and we'll share some more principles in a few weeks. Amen? Did you learn anything today? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? We're not going to dismiss. We're just going to have communion here in a moment.